And we'll say good morning to Jerome and Janet and to Peggy. I guess I should do it the other way around. Peggy was on Thursday. So, good morning. And we'll go ahead and begin. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord. Father, we're thankful this morning for your word, and we're thankful that you have revealed things in us about ourselves and things that are helpful to us in our Christian lives within your word. And as we look at it this morning, let the Spirit be our guide, and we'd be in tune to him, and we would be grateful for that now. Amen. Good morning. Now, dealing with the Christian thought life and its relationship to the Christian life, it is very important to the Christian life as to what our thought life is. And in the past few weeks, we've been looking at three kinds of men out of 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. We've been in chapter 2 and verse 14 primarily, where we saw the first kind of man. And all of these terms have an ending on them, ikos ending, which means that somebody pertains to, or they emanate things from, or they do pertain to it and can or do emanate things from whatever the term is. And so the term that we looked at in verse 14 is from psuche, which is the word for soul. And so the man who is a psuchikos man, it's translated natural man, he is a soulish man. And so he is a man who pertains to his soul. That's his primary thing. Now he has body, soul, and spirit, but for the psuchikos man, everything that he is and has is unsaved. And so there's nothing that he can do to please God. There's nothing that he can do that has to do with God. He is unsaved though. And so he will emanate the things from the soul, though he has a rational mind. That rational mind, though he may be able to reason things through, with respect to the world and such in his natural life, he does do those things, but when it comes to the things of God, this man we saw, can't know them. And so 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the soulish man, translated the natural man, receiveth not, the things from the Spirit of God. And so he doesn't receive them. He actively, doesn't receive them. In other words, to make it negative, he rejects them, but he cannot read, and neither can he know them by experience, because they're spiritually discerned. So he cannot sift things through the things from the Spirit of God. And I think everybody who's online and everybody here, as we've gone through, the things going back to verse 9, the things that God has prepared for the ones loving him, the things that the Spirit searches out, the deep things of God, the things that the Spirit has revealed to us there. And so he's revealed those things to us. It's those things. It's the things that God the Spirit knows, and it's the things that are relative to the things that God has freely given to us when he gave us by giving us the Spirit. But these are things that are spiritual things, the things of from the Spirit. Those things are not from man's wisdom. It's not the things that in words that man's wisdom teaches, but the things that the Holy Spirit teaches. And the Holy Spirit teaches those things, combining spiritual. That's what the idea of comparing is, it combining, putting things together, spiritual ideas with spiritual words. We could say there are two different genders there, two different kinds of endings on spiritual things with spiritual. And so he puts things together. But that's when it says the natural man, the soulish man, cannot receive. He receives not. He does not receive the things from the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them. Now we looked at the other places, at other places where this word soulish occurs. And this word soulish is never used of a Christian. It's always used of the unsaved. Now it is used of the physical body and the body that we have. here on earth, the body is described, the body, present body that we have is described as soulish. We'll look at that at a future time. The body that we have is not saved yet, and it does pertain to the soul. But it's going to be, we're going to, when the change takes place, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, and like Christ, 1 John 3:2, when that takes place, it will be a body that pertains to the spirit and is not going to pertain to the soul. But by then, our souls will be saved. And 1 Peter 1:9. But when we stop and look at the soul, it's the unsaved man. His wisdom is not a good kind of wisdom. We look at James chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says that this wisdom, he describes it in a context of some works of the flesh before, and then he has some wisdom that is from above, but he says this wisdom is not from above. But where is this wisdom from? He says this wisdom is earthy. It's upon the earth. And so it's an earthly kind of wisdom. He says that it's sensual, it says in the AV, but the word sensual is the word soulish. And so it is soulish. This wisdom is soulish. And so it relates to the soul. It emanates, it pertains to the soul. It emanates the things of the soul. And then he goes on and says that it's demon-like. And so that describes something of the unsaved man and the soulish man. He's wise. He may be wise, and we see wisdom earlier. We won't go through it. We've referred to it. But in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 and 3, we have an emphasis on wisdom and foolishness. And so but the wisdom of the world, well, that's the kind of wisdom this is. It's the wisdom of the world, and it's the wisdom of the soulish man. And so it's defined by James as being, and the translators translated it sensual. Now, well, it pertains to the senses, but it's soulish. And so just to be consistent, we would translate it soulish. And it does relate to the soul. Then over in Jude 19, we saw that such a man, the sensual man, I think it's translated again, but it should be soulish man, he does not have the spirit from God. And so he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans 8:9 that if any man, since some man does not have the Spirit from God, he is not of his. He doesn't belong to Christ as long as he does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling him. And so the unsaved, this man is unsaved. He doesn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And as a result, he refuses. He will not actively receive or welcome the things from the Spirit of God. And the reason is because they're foolishness to him. And also, he can't know them by experience. And really, it's going to affect his intuitive knowledge as well in putting things together. He can memorize Scripture. He can study Scripture, but he can't really know it. And it'll never come to a place where he knows it experientially as he is an unsaved man without the Holy Spirit. And so in the previous context, the things of the Spirit, things from the Spirit of God, those things are seen to be things that deal with revelation, the things the Spirit reveals. And so the Word of God is something that is foolishness to the unsaved man. So this is just a review looking at the three kinds of men before we get back into the spiritual man and pick up where we left off last week. Now, the spiritual man, though, we will review a little where we left off last week. And we see the spiritual man in verse 15. Well, the unsaved man, the soulish man, he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And we mentioned that at the beginning of this, but they're spiritually discerned. And so it takes some spiritual discernment. The Holy Spirit's the one who illumines the mind to truth. It's the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to understand, to come to an understanding. He turns the light on so that we see what's said in Scripture, and so we can come to an understanding and know. And as we live it, we can know it by experience. We can move on into an experiential knowledge of those things that come from the Spirit of God. But he that is spiritual Now we come to he that is spiritual, a spiritual man. And so he's the one who, this is pneumatic cost, he pertains to and he emanates the things from the Spirit. And so he is in a proper relationship to the Spirit of God. He pertains to the Spirit, first of all. Now, first of all, he's indwelt by the Spirit. He does have the Spirit, whereas we saw that a soulish man does not have the Spirit. But he does have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he does have the potential to know those things. He has, and if he is spiritual, and he's spiritual, it says he judges all things, and that should be translated discerns. He discerns all things. It's the same term that the unsaved man, he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. The soulish man can't sit through the facts. He can't examine them, and he can't come to any conclusions with them to know these things. But the spiritual man, in contrast, he can. And so we have the contrast here between the soulish man and the spiritual man. Soulish man cannot receive them because they're spiritually discerned, but the spiritual man, he discerns all things. And so again, we looked at this last week to point out that he does sift through, he does examine, he does know things because they are things in the previous verse, they're spiritually discerned. So you have to be spiritual to be able to come to a knowledge of these things. The things, when he says all things, we pointed out that it goes back beginning in verse 9 and that list of things, the things, going through there, the things that come from the Spirit of God, the things of God. And so these are the things that the Holy Spirit does make known, and the spiritual man who pertains to the Spirit, he can be illumined to truth. Elsewhere, we find that he's illumined. You have an anointing, and so that you can know all things, but you do have that potential when you're spiritual. And so the spiritual man, he discerns all things, and yet he's discerned directly by no man. And so, as we pointed out last week, I don't know if you're spiritual looking at you. I can't discern whether you are spiritual or not for sure. And I really can't come to those conclusions about it unless I can observe and see maybe parts of the fruit of the Spirit. So it gives me an idea. But I can't tell if you're doing it with the right motive. I can't tell if you're doing it by the Spirit or if you're doing it by the flesh. Whatever you're doing, I really can't see it. But he's discerned by no one, but he can know that he is spiritual. And we'll look at that again today as we move into the fact that he can know that he's spiritual and you are spiritual. Now, when it says that he that is spiritual, he does have the Holy Spirit. He is a believer. He is one who is rightly related to the Spirit. He pertains to the Spirit. And hence, he can emanate the things from the Spirit, from God. And so he can do those things. And he does discern. He is able to discern all things in the context here. And so this is the spiritual man. And as we move down to chapter 3, we find the spiritual reference to the spiritual again. And we have a contrast now in verse 1 and following, but we have a contrast in verse 1 with the spiritual man versus the carnal man. And so this is the third man in chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So he couldn't speak to them like as spiritual because they were not spiritual. And so they were not spiritual. They were not spiritual, as we'll come back and review a little bit more on the spiritual man and his abilities and the result of his spirit filling. But as we look at the spiritual man, he has some capabilities when he's spiritual. He says, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And so this is the word sarx with an ikos. And sarkikos means that he pertains to the flesh, and he emanates the things from the flesh. And so he is a carnal man, and it says that he is carnal. And very clearly, now I know some manuscripts change the meaning, change the ending from an ikos to an inos ending, and I'm going to go with an ikos ending. It's fitting in the context, and it does make good sense here to do so, and it does have a slightly broad base, but it does have a majority of manuscripts plus a couple of others that read the ikos ending. And so he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And so he could only speak to them as babes. And so those babes here, the napios, he's not speaking of those who are just being nursed, newborn babies, but these are just the little toddlers who can't express themselves. And so when you look at napios, he's just an inarticulate babbler, is the way we define the term. He babbles. He cannot really say what he can't express himself. And when it comes to spiritual things, he's back to just baby food. He can't handle the solid things from the Word of God. We find a description of this man, and we'll look at him later on. But when you get over to Hebrews chapter 5, he cannot. They were stuck on baby food, and they could not handle the solid the food, and they hadn't been exercised to know the difference between that which was good, that had a good appearance to it, and that which was bad, lacking in character. They didn't know. They couldn't discern those kinds of things. They hadn't put it into practice, and they were babies. Well, when he speaks of those who are spiritual, I will say when he speaks of those who are spiritual, again, we see that there's also a carnal man. And so he's not speaking to all Christians when he says, when he describes he that is spiritual. And it's not every Christian who is spiritual. In fact, we can say that no Christian is spiritual all the time. We have an old nature, we have the flesh, and sometimes we pertain to the flesh. And sometimes we may pertain to the spirit. We have that potential. And so we should be pertaining to the spirit, but we don't always do so. And so when you're spiritual, though, you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You're not dependent upon the flesh. And so you are emanating the things from the Spirit of God. If you are spiritual, those are the kinds of things that you will emanate. The things that you will emanate will be things that will be like Christ. And so you will be directing fruit of the Spirit and such. I'm jumping ahead of where I want to go right at the moment. But when you're carnal, you can't handle the deep things of God in the context. You can't do the things that God the Holy Spirit would enable you to do because you're not dependent upon Him. And so it does revolve around your mind. And so it comes back to where you're saved. Where are we saved? We spent some time looking at that again, John 3 verse 6. It's that which is born out from the Spirit is the source. It is the Spirit. So our human spirit, it's in the realm of our human spirit that we have a new mind, and we do have the capacity to think God's thoughts with Him and to know the things of God. And so it's in the realm where we're saved. It's in the rational mind. It relates to our human spirit, but it's in the saved part of our human spirit that we can do that, that we can think those kinds of thoughts, the kinds of thoughts that God has in His Word. And when you do that, we could go back to Colossians 3:2. Where do you frame your mind? Well, is your mind framed on things on the earth, or is it framed on things above? And so if your mind is framed on things above, your focus is different. It's on it's on the place and upon the things and on what you are as God the Father sees you in Christ. As He imputes you to be in Christ, He sees you in Christ. When your mind is where it needs to be, when you're framing your mind in that way, then it does make a difference as to where you're going to be. Well, what that does is you can get out of the way when you do that. And the way you can get out of the way, you can enter into a rest. There is a rest that's left for saints today. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, 10 and 11 speaks of the fact that there's a rest left, but he that enters into his rest, what does he do? Well, he ceases from his labor. He ceases from his own labor. And so you don't do anything when you enter into a rest, but when you do, you can rest. But then I see there that the Holy Spirit now he can begin to minister in and through us, because we, when our minds are where they ought to be, we can be pertaining to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can minister through us then and in and through us. And so he can do the work within us, and we can do things. We can be in a condition to know the things from God, the things from the Spirit of God. We can be illumined to those things. We can be enabled to do the things that God would have us to do. But before we do those, we can actually be led by the Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit would lead us to do. And so, but he can guide us in Scripture, but he can lead us into the things not addressed in Scripture, so that we can, and he will enable us to live the Christian life. It's something that we can depend on. And so when we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we come back to the fact that the three kinds of men here, the soulish man is an unsaved man, never used of a believer, the spiritual man and the carnal man are both terms that are applied to a believer. A believer is never a soulish man, but he can be carnal. And when he's carnal, he's pertaining to his flesh. We'll go to Galatians 5 when we deal with him, but you see what comes out from the flesh, what kind of works he puts out. And so he does have works. The work of the carnal man will produce something. And he does have works, but he's limited when it comes to his understanding of Scripture and what he can handle in the Word of God and from the Word of God. And so, are you spiritual? Are you spiritual all the time? Well, I think sometimes we think we are all the time spiritual, but the works of the flesh, they're evident, they're clear. And so if you see the works of the flesh, you know at that time that you're not spiritual at that time. The longer as you mature, and if you are maturing, and if you're being pertaining to the Spirit more and more as you move along through your Christian life, you can be more and more transformed into the same image as the Lord, and you can be transformed from glory to glory, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit ministers 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, so that we can reflect Christ we can mirror Christ, be a mirror image, not by how we look, but by what we do, and by whether we're directing fruit or whether we're doing works of the flesh. It can be very clear whether you're spiritual or carnal. And so you do have the potential to know whether you are spiritual or carnal. And so there is a contrast, and just to start with, I wanted to go back and review and look at the contrast. We won't spend as much time on that, I trust, in the future. But we come back this morning, we want to pick up and look at the abilities of the spiritual man. And we pointed out, but he that is spiritual, in 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual, he discerns all things. And yet he himself is discerned by no man. Now we just went through that, but he is capable of discerning all things. That is the things from the Spirit, the things that God has prepared for the ones loving him, the things that God, the Holy Spirit, has revealed. That is the things that he searches out, the things that are the deep things of God. And it also goes on to the things that the Spirit of God knows, the things of God that the Spirit knows, and the fact that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And so we do have the potential to know the things that have been graciously given to us by God. And these are the things that Paul spoke, not in words of man's wisdom, but the Holy things that the Holy Spirit taught. The Holy Spirit teaches, combining spiritual ideas with spiritual words. He puts things together, and so this looks at the. And so then we get down to the spiritual man. Those are the things. Those are the all things that he can discern. And so we do have the potential to know the things that God has revealed to us. Where has he revealed them to us? Well, when he put ideas and words together, it was in the inscripturation of Scripture, when Scripture was written. And so you have it right here. They're from the Holy Spirit, though. He is the source. He is the one who is the divine author. He's the one who makes it possible, if you're pertaining to the Spirit, to discern all things. And so that's the thing, that's the first thing that we'll notice in his abilities as to what he can do. Now, another thing, we'll look at the next verse in verse 16. He's able not to only to discern all things, but he also